Is it a bounce back week in full effect for some of the top wide receivers? Can Deebo Samuel repeat? And is there trouble for Terry McLaurin with no Fitz magic? Find out all that top 36 wide receivers coming at you right now. All right, TFA fam, what is going on? We obviously have a lot of wide receivers to get into. We're going to talk about our top 36, give you some flex options. Before we jump into it, if you checked out the other videos, you know what I'm going to say. We are thinking about doing a end-of-week rankings update, just a quick check-in. Guys, we moved up. Guys, we moved down. If that's something that you think would be helpful, drop a comment. Let us know. It would be like a quick, like, 3 to 5 minute video. Maybe we'll even just do it on, you know, across social media, TikTok, that sort of thing. But let us know if that's something that would interest you guys. With that out of the way, Robbie, let's jump right into this. We're going to kick things off with our top 12 wide receivers. You have Davante Adams leading things off at 1, Keenan Allen at 2, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Allen Robinson, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, and Cooper Kupp as your top 12. For me, I have Hill at 1, Adams at 2, D-Hop, Keenan, Amari Cooper at 5, D.K. Metcalf at 6, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Steph Diggs at 10, Cooper Kupp, and A-Rob at 12. So obviously we are, you know, we do believe that the Davante Adams bounce back game is going to be in full effect. Other than that, you know, I thought I was going to be high with having Keenan Allen at 4. You have him up at 2. And then I must love your team more than you do, because I have both of the Cowboys in my top 12. Just talk to me about these top 12 guys. I really don't think there's going to be too many surprising names here. We have a lot of the same names, just in some slightly different orders. So let's touch on these guys, and then we'll move on to the wide receiver twos.
Yeah, man, I love seeing Keenan Allen so high for you. I thought I'd be just way out on a limb. We got all of these rankers, and I'll be the only one this high. But I love seeing that. He had 13 targets, 9 receptions, 100 yards against, I think, a decent – And this is what Keenan Allen is. Like,
just another day in the office.
So many times last year, this is just what Keenan Allen does. Gets double-digit targets, get 7 to 9 receptions and 12 yards per reception. Gets a touchdown every second, third week. You know, he'll finish the year with 6 to 8, sometimes 9 touchdowns. So, and now he gets the Dallas Cowboys secondary. So
yes.
Riddle me this. Like, I almost debated putting him 1, but I do think DeAndre Adams has that same upside against the Lions secondary. We've seen him go absolutely ballistic as well. So these two guys are runaway 1 and 2 for me. Not much more needs to be said on that. But going down to Allen Robinson, skipping a little bit down for you, I'm really interested why you have him down there at 12, because I think this is just a bounce-back week for A-Rob. I think he's going to get peppered with targets. He had a little bit tougher of a matchup. He didn't get shadowed by any means by Jalen Ramsey, but he did see a lot of Jalen Ramsey, where I'm going to vault him right back up into, you know, top 7-ish wide receivers for me. I think he has the talent. I do think Andy Dalton will have more success against a Cincinnati Bengals depleted secondary. So I really like Allen Robinson kind of having a bounce back week. And then, yeah, the rest of the guys, you could mix them and mash them however you want. You're a little bit higher on CeeDee Lamb, and he absolutely, this could absolutely be a CeeDee Lamb week instead of a Cooper week. Maybe they both have success. I just think maybe they balance out that offense a little bit more. They're not trailing from behind as much like they were the Bucs. So Dak maybe doesn't throw as many times as he did in week 1. And so maybe this is a little bit more Zeke involvement and not as much passing the ball. But you could make the argument that with Gallup out, they're probably not going to go to their now third string wide receiver, Cedric Wilson, as much. And maybe that's more for these first two guys. Maybe I'm making your counter argument before you even get to speak. But there's definitely stuff to like in Dallas. Talk to me about your top 12 here.
Yeah, just on the Dallas thing real quick, like, even if they do become more balanced, like you said, maybe we don't see Wilson be as involved. Maybe some of those targets, you know, shift away from the tight end slightly, because both those guys, I think, you know, had over 5 targets, I want to say, or maybe it was 6 and 4 or something
four
like that.
4 and 6. 4 and 6, yep.
Okay, so 10 total between the two. I just think that, you know, those two are going to be the two. I think they're locked into damn near double-digit targets every single week. Even if they do become more balanced, like, Dak is still going to throw the ball 30, 35 times a game. Again, even if they are more balanced. So those two are still going to get theirs. They're absolutely locked in. Going up against the Chargers, who, you know, the front seven looks good, and then, you know, the safeties look good with Derwin James being back, but then they do have some questions at corner, and obviously that is not a great thing for them. It's going to be a great thing for us. I'm really excited about this game. Outside of that, like, DK, having DK and AJ Brown back to back, like, I like sitting here trying to talk through this, like, I don't feel great about it. Like, having DK up here is more just like a gut feeling. Obviously, Arizona just ran through this Tennessee defense. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was. I think we see a little bit more back and forth in this game. I think Tennessee bounces back. I think we see a little bit more of a DK Metcalf game. I do have Tyler Lockett right outside, but like even like that like made me a little bit nervous just because of like having like flashbacks to last week. Like, all right, man, there was his, you know, 100 yards, two touchdowns. Now we're going to go on a 5-week drought, then he'll pop back up. But I do think we see a little bit more balanced. Having A-Rob down at 12 for me, I just like some of these other matchups a little bit better, to be quite honest. Having Cooper Kupp up there at 11, he dominated targets. I don't think we see that split between him and Robert Woods be as wide as it was in week one. I do think Robert Woods is still going to get his. But, you know, again, going up against Indy with what the Seahawks offense just did to them, we know that this offense is going to get thrown on Stafford's back. So it's going to be Kupp. It's going to be Higbee. Seems like he's working in now. And I do think we see Robert Woods bounce back. I was really surprised to look at Burrow's stat line. And even with the OT, he only threw 27 times. Like, that wasn't their MO last year at all. Now, obviously, they were ahead. Mixon got, you know, just pummeled with touches. So maybe we see his touches pull back a little bit. But that's just one of those games where I could see it be like a little gross, so, you know, a little slow, where we don't have as much play volume. So that's why I have him down there at 12.
Yeah, you kind of touched on that Seahawks-Titans matchup, and with a 50.5 over-under, I think is what it is, depending on the site you're looking at, I think you're in line to see these two guys find the end zone, at least have big games. I get there's also Tyler Lockett and Julio to worry about, but I think these two guys have a really big game. And then someone that maybe had a quieter week but was still decent was Justin Jefferson. He didn't have the Justin Jefferson we got used to seeing week. But he's going to go against the Arizona Cardinals, who I think are just going to absolutely torch this Viking secondary. Yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is going to need to throw a lot, and he's going to be looking for Justin Jefferson a lot. So he's definitely a guy that I'm locking loaded as a top eight wide receiver.
Let's go ahead and move things on to the wide receiver twos. You have CeeDee Lamb at 13, followed by Ridley, Lockett, Thielen, DJ Moore, Julio, Bobby Trees, McLaurin down at 20, T. Higgins, Debo, Mike Evans at 23, and Deontay Johnson at 24. For me, I have Lockett at 13, Ridley at 14, but like looking at it, like I don't feel great about it. Like, I feel like I should bump him down. Thielen, I have Mike Williams at 16. Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, and Debo at 24. Help me go through these wide receiver twos. I know we were both kind of in lockstep there with...
Yeah, Calvin Ridley is normally, in most weeks, going to be a top five guy for me. Like, I just think the volume that he's going to get this year is going to be bonkers. Like, I think he had, 150 targets last year with Julio playing 9 weeks of football. So this could just be astronomical target volume. And so that's why he's still... makes it as a top 15 wide receiver for me. Even though this is a really bad matchup, he's probably going to see double-digit targets. And with his talent, I want to make sure that I give him his due diligence where he's still going to be a startable asset. He's still going to be a decent shot to have a good game. So I do got to keep him up there. You could make the argument to have him lower, but I just respect the talent and the volume too much. The next guy I think that's really interesting is DJ Moore, because he has a really good week one. This is a guy that we just know doesn't really find the end zone. But I like this matchup. I said in the quarterback video that the Saints are without Marshon Lattimore and Marcus Davenport, two of their top defensive players. And I think that just plays into the hands of a guy that's going to get most of the targets, or I should say just a majority of the target share for Sam Darnold along with Christian McCaffrey. So I really like this game for DJ Moore. He probably has a better shot at a touchdown in this game compared to most. And then the guy I'm a little bit lower on that I think you are as well is Terry McLaurin. And I'm just I really want to see what happens with this offense first before I rank him higher than this, because he would be a fringe wide receiver one in most weeks, but a little bit tougher of a matchup with the Giants here. I could see them, matching up Bradberry a little bit more with him, because there is a drop off from McLaurin to that wide receiver two, especially with Curtis Samuel out. So, Terry McLaurin is a guy that
De'Ami Brown.
Yes, right. He didn't do anything, but his snap share was actually pretty damn good. I actually liked what I saw, even though stat wise he didn't do anything for you. So excited to see his acceleration as we move on in the season. He should be a guy that will be played at some point this year. And then T. Higgins, even though Ja'Marr Chase obviously had the better stat line, I don't think that's going to be the same each week, right? They're going to mix it in. It's going to be Tyler Boyd 1 week, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm gonna keep T. Higgins above Ja'Marr Chase slightly here. I do think he's kind of a good bet for a touchdown given his size speed combo. So I will have him kind of as a back end wide receiver one. And then the last guy I'll touch on is Mike Evans. And he obviously was the guy that disappeared, right? We're going to see this a lot with the Bucs, where two of the three guys, or maybe even three of the four, if you're including Gronk, one's going to be the odd man out. I do think he's in line for probably a touchdown, especially given the matchup against the Falcons. But this is a guy that probably is going to be the low man on the target volume, I think. But he obviously has one of the higher upsides for touchdowns in any given week. So I kind of split the difference between those two thoughts and just have him right there as a wide receiver too.
Yeah, man, this Tampa Bay, like, I feel dumb, honestly, having Godwin as low as I do. And then, AB with what he did, and then not even having him as a wide receiver too. Like, I don't want to see any player falter, but I hope someone is just, like, the odd man out. Like, just – whether it's Evans,
make it easy.
Please. Like, I'm looking at this. I'm like, I'm going to get crushed for this. Like, Godwin having the game he did, AB having the game he did. But the thing I will say is Antonio Brown only played 65% of the snaps last week. Obviously did what he did on the snaps that he saw. Godwin 98% and Evans 94%. But like you said, every single week, it just seems like it's going to be an absolute headache. The pro tip here is just hope you have Tom Brady and just sit back and just enjoy everything that happens outside of that. But for me going through here, I feel like I could have Ja'Marr Chase a little bit higher. We're going to get into some of these wide receiver threes. Like, I really hope Julio Jones can get back to, shades of Falcons Julio Jones. We obviously didn't see that week one. This entire offense completely sputtered. I do think we see more back and forth this week. Outside of that, man, I think we can move on to the threes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we move on to the wide receiver threes, we talked about this offense whenever on the running back show. San Francisco, Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, Sermon, Mitchell. Like,
what's happening?
Just headaches all around. What are you doing with Deebo? Obviously, going up against Philly, they stifled Atlanta, like you were talking about. Darius Slay, the one thing, if Ayuk is going to get more snaps, I don't even know. I don't even know where to lead this conversation, because I still can't wrap my head around what happened last week. But Deebo did play way more on the outside than what I had thought he was going to. Now, maybe if Ayuk is back in the fold, they can sneak him back into the slot a little bit more. But what are you doing with Deebo in week two? Like, do you feel good about where you have him, or is it kind of just like he needs to be there? What are your thoughts on Deebo? And then we can go into our wide receiver three.
Yeah, this is an offense that, as a guy who was lower on Ayuk coming into the year, I was a guy that said, I don't think this offense can sustain Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, all three in any given week. And we saw that when there's only two of the three, they can have a lot of success. And it was way more than Debo probably will have again for a long time. But I do think that we probably need to have Debo ranked as a hot, a low-end wide receiver too, but definitely in your starting lineups until we see what they're going to do with Ayuk. It seemed like it was injury-driven. I don't really know what Kyle Shanahan is doing, so I'm not comfortable rolling out Ayuk until I see it. And we saw Ayuk be fantastic last year. We have to remember, in the four games where both Debo and George Kittle were healthy, he only had one game over 46 yards, and two of the games he had yardage in the teens. I think it was like 12 and 16 yards. So I just want to temper expectations. Well, expectations have been tempered with Ayuk, but I do think eventually he'll get worked back in. But then it just makes it makes it a confusing wide receiver room where it's like, if Ayuk is out, I'm firing up Debo for sure. And that's how I feel this week, where I think Debo will be the leading guy. So I do have him ranked as a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I love Debo coming out. His thing has just been health.
Yep.
Right. He's healthy right now. Is Ayuk healthy? Is it, you know, punishment? Who knows? Like, just give us answers. Just please.
What are the beat reporters and the beat writers doing in San Fran? I just feel like we were led astray. There was no talk about the Ayuk thing, the sermon thing. They were so focused on Lance. I think that Lance stole the show and he blinded us to this other news.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, that was just a week one slap on the wrist. We can get back to what we thought this offense was going to look like. Let's go ahead and move on to the wide receiver threes for the week. You are kicking things off here at 25 with Sir Jamar Chase, followed by Claypool, AB, Odell, Devonta Smith at 29, Cooks, Waddle, Juju, Sutton, Marquise Brown, Mike Williams at 35, Jacoby Myers at 36 for you. Going back up to 25 for myself, I have AB, Woods, Chase, Robbie Anderson, Sutton, Claypool, Cooks, Devonta Smith, Juju, Tyler Boyd at 34, Corey Davis at 35, and Viska at 36. Now, going through some of these guys, like I said, Robbie Anderson, I feel like I should probably move down, but, you know, then you're talking about Lattimore being out. That obviously opens things up. There should be that connection with, you know, between Darnold and Anderson. So I guess we'll just see what happens there. Sutton moves up, obviously, with the news of Jerry Jeudy hitting IR for at least, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. It looks like it's going to be for him. There's a couple interesting guys in here as well. You know, Devonta Smith has that really nice week. He's down here as a mid to back end wide receiver three for both of us. Tyrod Taylor coming out and just chucking up 300 yards. Brandon Cooks going off for $130, $132, I think he had. So walk me through some of these wide receiver threes. Let's touch on these guys and we can hit some flex options after that.
Yeah, absolutely. So just kind of at the top, the two guys I wanted to touch on are Jamar Chase and Chase Claypool. First with Chase, he was a guy that I wasn't as worried about as most people. I get the whole drops issue, and I really like how Joe Burrow in the press conference, I don't know if you caught that, after Chase finishes up and Burrow sits down, and he goes, I thought he had drop problems, or weren't you guys saying something about he had some drop issues? Didn't see that, so... just kind of throws a little shade back at the media, and Jamar Chase kind of came as advertised. And I think in games where Burrow throws more, which I think they get to, I kind of was calling for that week one. It did not come to fruition. He threw less than 30 times. I think more often than not, they will throw more than 33, 35 times. And so I think that's going to be more of their MO. I think we see more of these guys get involved. Boyd can have a better game. And so I do have Chase slightly behind Higgins, still above Boyd, but still really like him. And then Chase Claypool, I think this was more Tre'Davious White, where Ben tried to focus on easier matchups. Juju had a much easier matchup. I think Deontay's always going to be his number one target anyways. We just didn't see Chase Claypool get the same target share that maybe he normally would get. And he just has that athleticism where I do think in an easier matchup against these Las Vegas corners that he will produce and has a better shot at the touchdown, which is something he was known for last year. AB, that this is a guy that you brought up. This whole wide receiver three tier is guys that you could list could be wide receiver ones, but you know what I mean? Like all of these guys. Yeah. Antonio Brown, we saw it last week. OBJ, we know his upside. Devontae Smith definitely can do that. Waddle, I think, has that upside. So I think all of these guys are just – there's enough question marks either with the volume or we have we seen enough yet, you know, with Smith and Waddle. I've seen some good stuff from them, but I just need to see more before I start moving them up there. So honestly, this is a tier of really good guys. These are guys that I want starting in most leagues. You should be able to start these guys. I told you when we weren't recording, I'm really nervous about running backs after about like running back 26, 27, after you get the Javonte, Melvin Gordon. I'm kind of nervous about some of those running backs. I'm starting all of these wide receivers and more over these running backs. So your flexes probably this week are a lot of wide receivers. Even Cortland Sutton, I get it. He was not himself this week one. But with Jerry Jeudy out, I think a lot more of Bridgewater's attention gets focused on Sutton as the clear wide receiver one in this offense. And then Marquise Brown, he was a guy that I should have been higher on, honestly. He really did well. He caught all of his targets. Now they face Kansas City, where I think they're going to have to pass to kind of keep up with them. So I think this should be another Marquise Brown happy game. So Mike Williams, I'm going to let you touch on him because I think you're higher than I am. He's going to be hopefully really good in this game with an over-under of, like, I think it's 55.5. It's bonkers between the Cowboys and the Chargers. So talk about Mike Williams and where do you have him again?
I have Williams all the way up at 16.
Oh, I missed that. I missed that a long time ago then. Nice. That's good. This is definitely the week where he can definitely do that again. I think he had 2 touchdowns week one, right?
Yeah, it's not even so much chasing the points that he's finally getting the targets. I mean, he was right behind. I think Keenan had 13 last week. Mike Williams had 12. Now that was with Austin Eckler, you know, head scratchingly having no targets, which, you know, nobody saw coming. But, you know, shootout against the Dallas secondary, even if, you know, we're both expecting Eckler to start getting back to his old role. He was, you know, going into that week, nursing that hamstring injury, did seem precautionary, but he did not get any targets. So I think we see that change this week. But even so, I think in this matchup, like you just said, the over-under already coming out, I can't imagine that spread is too far apart either. So they're both going to have high implied point totals. Just really excited about this overall. You have him at 35. Kev right now has Mike Williams down at 41. So I'm way above both of you guys. I like Marquise Brown where you have him. I have him just outside of my wide receiver threes. Kind of just feels like in this game, like I said, whenever we were going through the quarterback rankings, whenever you are forcing Lamar Jackson to throw, I think it's when he can get into a little bit of trouble. But he did. He had some nice flashes. I liked what I saw, some progressions from him as a passer. You know, Sammy Watkins just out there doing his week one Sammy Watkins things. Outside of that, man, I really don't have too much to touch on. You were talking about a lot of the things with this group. Like, there's guys I feel like I could put up here, guys I feel like I can move down. But in general, I feel a lot better about, you know, these wide receivers that are further on down the list versus what you were talking about, the running backs. Devonta Smith, obviously leading the way there for Philly. Now with Jason Verrett out with another torn ACL. Josh Norman's there. He was inactive last week, but I mean, I think he's dust at this point. Like, Devonta Smith should be able to put him, you know, in an absolute turnstile if he ends up getting matched up with him. So I'm not worried about the matchup, but having him down here at 32 feels too low. I like the matchup for Juju again this week going up against the Raiders. You know, Tyler Boyd, I had him higher last week because I was thinking, like, all right, this D-line for the Vikings is going to get after Joe Burrow, should get the ball out quicker. Boyd only saw 4 targets, but like you were touching on, they threw less than 30 times. So I do think we see that change. But, you know, if Cooper Kupp is any indication, this is where you attack that Chicago defense. So maybe this could be a Tyler Boyd game. And some guys just after him who I like, you know, Jacoby Myers up there. I think Nelson Agholor should be in the discussion as well. Sterling Shepard coming out and reminding people that he is not dead and he still is, in fact, good at football. I think 38 or 39 of his 58, 59 snaps came from the slot, which is where I know he can mix in on the outside, but he's a much better slot receiver. So if they're going to keep playing him there, I really like that for Sterling Shepard in this matchup. It's going to be tough with the outside corners that Washington has. You know, Jaylen Waddle, shout out to J Mike. Me and him were both a little bit higher on him going into redraft season. I wasn't as high on him for dynasty purposes, but that's because we had a loaded class. And guys like Darnell Mooney, you know, Rondale Moore came out weird. I was told, you know, because he was 5'7", he wouldn't be able to do anything. I know Christian Kirk is going to get all the love because he scored the two touchdowns, but they had pretty similar target and, you know, yard and catch numbers outside of the touchdown disparity. What about for you? Who outside of this top 36 area do you like? Who are you looking at throwing in your flex spot?
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting because the matchups, I felt like last week, they were really tough for some of these wide receiver threes. And now for a lot of these flex guys that I'd want to start, they're a little bit tougher. But the guy that kind of jumps out to me, I'll only name a couple, but Cole Beasley, I think we kind of forget how much he gets targeted with the Buffalo Bills. You and I were talking about it with some of our group. I'm in a Voxer chat, but man, he gets peppered with targets. He is that wide receiver too. As much as we want to, you know, pump up Gabe Davis on my end or Manny Sanders, it is Cole Beasley. So I think him being the slot with tough outside corners in Miami, I think he could be a weapon there. And then the other guy, it really depends on how OBJ is. I really don't know what to make of the OBJ situation. This is, again, maybe a Friday ranks update. But Jarvis Landry going up against Houston, if he is the only show in town, I'm going to assume that he can get some things done there. So he's another guy that I would consider if OBJ is out, and then even if OBJ is in, maybe if you're desperate. And then, like you said, Tyler Boyd. I just like the Cincinnati Bengals offense. I get it that they didn't quite all put it together week one, but I do think Boyd can get some more targets than he did in week one. I'm not really worried about Chicago. They're at the point where they have really good linebackers, like elite linebackers. They have Akeem Hicks in the middle, Robert Quinn, but like their secondary is very beatable. So I'm not favoring them or not favoring them. They're one of those middle pass secondaries. So I think Boyd can definitely get some wins against that secondary. So those are the three guys I'd toss out. The rest of these guys, tougher matchups. Can Terrace Marshall find the end zone against the Saints? I think that's possible. Tyrell Williams didn't see kind of the targets that we wanted him to see it playing catch up in a game where they were behind by a lot. Maybe he could turn it on against the Green Bay Packers, but I'm not probably rolling him out. It's just kind of tough there. It really just depends on where we can see the volume. And after 1 week, it's hard for me to trust some of these guys, you know?
Then just other guys to know quickly, especially if you're in some deeper leagues, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, both obviously have good matchups against Jacksonville. So I think they're in play again in deeper leagues. Something I'm really curious to see, can Bryan Edwards carry his momentum into week two? Can they take some of the 19 targets away from Darren Waller and spread them around? Because it was really weird when they targeted Bryan Edwards in the last, you know, 3 seconds of the game. He did pretty damn well, and he looked beastly out there. So I really hope that this can be a turning point. He can carry some of that momentum because, obviously, this is a Bryan Edwards-friendly fantasy site around these parts. So other than that, I think that is going to wrap things up. Any questions you guys have, please drop them in the comments. Join the Discord. Get in the conversation over there. If you are not yet subscribed, please hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on podcasts, rate, review. We really appreciate all the support and all the feedback. If you have any other, you know, comments, questions for us, please let us know that as well. Until the next time, we will catch you on the next one.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.